On this program, we're going to talk about an interesting period in the U.S. history, and it gets revealed through something the CIA did. The CIA agreed yesterday to release more documents on the organization's use of agents who had Nazi ties. The agency was under pressure from Congress. Here to tell us more about the documents and their significance is Timothy Naftali. He's a historian at the University of Virginia's Miller Center for Public Affairs. He also is the CIA expert for the congressionally appointed interagency working group, which has been trying to get the documents released. He joins us now by phone from Charlottesville, Virginia. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Joe.
So, as I read, the CIA has already released, you know, millions, well, at least more than a million pages of documents. So what have we already learned about this?
Well, we learned a lot, but, you know, you've got to be wary of statistics like 1 million pages released. Some of those pages were just photocopies of newspaper articles. We learned quite a bit. What happened here is that the Interagency Working Group, the IWG, sent a list of names generated by the Nuremberg trials and also by the Allied police and intelligence services at the end of World War II. The CIA did, if you will, a Google search in its classified archive. And when it had hits, it gathered those hits together and showed that material to people with clearances. What happened, though, is we said, all right, very good. Let's follow up the leads. Very significantly, and the agency refused to. Also, its standard for who was a war criminal shifted. In the beginning, they would give us information on people contained in the Nuremberg lists. Later, they said, no, you have to prove that this person committed a war crime before we'll give you information if that person had a post-war relationship with us. What happened the other day is the CIA wiped away those restrictions and is now following the intent of the law. Which is the reason that the Congress has been so helpful, and two members in particular of Congress took a special interest in getting the CIA to move towards what Congress had always wanted it to do.
And who are those two members? And maybe also you could tell us, I mean, what's the goal here?
Well, let me tell you about the two members, and then I'll talk about the goal, because this is really a victory for public disclosure, and I think will help the nation understand better the costs and benefits of hiring bad people. Senator Mike DeWine of Ohio and Representative Caroline Maloney of New York deserve great credit for this achievement. So too do the public members of the IWG. But the two Congress people both stressed to the CIA that it had been their intent in co-sponsoring the bill in both of the houses, to release material on post-war relationships with Nazi war criminals, not simply what the CIA and its predecessor agencies knew about Nazi crimes during the war. Why does this matter? The CIA has almost no historical memory. It's a fine agency. It does important work, but it doesn't learn well from its past. The reason for that is that the history office of the agency is a very weak organization. The historians are strong. They're good people, but they often don't get access to the operational materials of the Directorate of Operations. At the same time, the Directorate of Operations, which oversees CIA activities abroad, doesn't always sponsor case studies of successes and failures. There was no DO study of the consequences of having hired some very bad members of the Gestapo after World War II.
What was the CIA using these people for?
In the very beginning, they were using these people to help find other Germans. At the end of World War II, it was assumed that Hitler's death would not bring an end to the struggle against Nazism, that ideologically motivated members of Hitler's intelligence service, the SS, would continue to cause trouble throughout the world. So it was in the interests of the Allied, both British and American, intelligence community to try to find these people. And they used their first recruits as bird dogs just to find them. What happened, though, was that as the target shifted from renegade Nazis to the Soviet Union, a number of these people started pleading for jobs, these old Nazis. And they said, you know, we know about the Soviets, too. And the United States, as it always has, had a deficit in human intelligence. And we didn't have much information about the Soviets. So it seemed that the best thing we could do was to take advantage of the work that the Nazis had done against Moscow and hire some of these people. That's how it started.
I see. Who's going to go through all this material that gets released? Is it people like you, or is this material available to the public?
Well,
the
way it's going to work is it's people like me. It's going to be the staff of the IWG, which includes National Archives archivists and historians that were hired as consultants by the IWG and the IWG members themselves. And the CIA, there will be a process of discussion with the CIA so that as much as can be released without harming national security will be released, and as expeditiously as possible. What happened was that a year ago, we made a case to Congress that the CIA was dragging its feet, and we produced a list of items, very significant items, that the CIA had refused to provide us information on.
We being this interagency,
the interagency working group.
Okay.
The Congress understood and agreed and gave us a one-year extension. Throughout that 1 year, the agency has been running out the clock. It refused to respond to all 10 of the points that we made in our letter of February 2004. So when we brought this back to our congressional sponsors, they were furious with the agency. They said, how could you do this? And they said, why are you exempting all this material, arguing that 60-year-old secrets could be harmful to national security?
Well, that was the question that springs naturally to mind. But I need to remind people that we're talking with Timothy Naftali, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Why? Why are 60-year-old documents of a national security concern? Why would they argue that?
It's a matter of principle for the agency that it should protect its sources and methods.
Mm-hmm.
And as a general proposition, it's a very good one. If you are going to ask a foreigner to risk their lives in order to help the United States, they want some guarantee of protection. But Congress decided that the hiring of people who had committed persecutions, war crimes, that hiring itself was a mistake, and that it should be investigated, and we should learn from that mistake. So an exception was made for sources and methods regarding Nazi war criminals.
So
that was an exception. And the CIA, however, was uncomfortable on principle making that exception and was trying to find ways to undercut the Congress's desire for this information.
So we're not necessarily talking about prosecutions here, or it's partly setting the historical record straight, but it's also partly to understand where excesses may have taken place and avoid them in the future.
The difficult thing for the agency was that they would release information on one person, let's say, and it was clear from the file that this person hired his colleagues, other members of the same SS unit that he'd belonged to. The agency was uncomfortable giving us information on those people. So we get a sense of the entire network of war criminals that the agency had then sent into Belarus or into Albania or somewhere else in Eastern Europe in the 40s. There was also another issue that was very sensitive to the agency and we'll have to work through, which is some of these operations did last into the 60s and 70s. So we're no longer talking about 60-year-old secrets. We're talking about 30-year-old or 40-year-old secrets. There was a certain sensitivity about that, too. Nevertheless, our requests were all relevant under the Act, and we intend to push forward. And the CIA has now agreed to work with us on a much broader and more permissive investigation.
And how long do you think this will be going on for?
Well, the CIA has now said that it will support an extension to our work. We were supposed to go out of business in a couple of weeks. And I know Congress is now looking into an extension. I don't know, 1 year or 2 years. The problem with a one-year extension is that it's possible to, again, run out the clock. A two-year extension gives us more staying power. There are some tough investigative issues to deal with. Not all the material necessarily will be relevant, and therefore not all of it will be declassified, but you have to do a broader search to get at the kernel, at the basic material that Congress and the American people should know about.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My privilege. It is really a great day for public disclosure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Timothy Naftali, Associate Professor of History and Director of the Presidential Recordings Program and Kremlin Decision-Making Project at the University of Virginia. He joined us by phone from Charlottesville, Virginia.